Everything we know about the world is changing by the minute. Actually, by the second. But then the thing that remains constant is that every Tuesday evening, we have a conversation like no other. We have a technology-minded conversation. Welcome to the most engaging technology conversation on Ghana Radio. Welcome to City Trends. On the show today, we talk about the evolving world of transportation and what is happening on the transport scene in Ghana. Yes, we might even touch on Uber and Uru and Yanko and virtually every other one that is out there. What is tech doing to disrupt the transport scene in Ghana? That is the question for today. We also have on the show some mobile applications with Jeffrey. In the app segment of the show, and I hear we have some games that you need to look forward to. You can also get some updates from the world of technology in the training segment of the show with Farida Shaibu. Be a part of the show. Share your thoughts via our WhatsApp number 054-998-6996. You can reach out via Twitter using the hashtag CityTrends, but then get in touch with me directly by messaging me on Twitter. My handle is at Kofi Ashon. CityTrends is live and interactive. Well, they say that the world is going crazy. Well, it is going crazy. That is the general refrain. But when you think about it, it actually isn't. Soon, there will be self-driving cars everywhere. Yes, autonomous vehicles. Tesla is currently leading the way and the rest are following suit. Cars are going to be autonomous. Road markings are changing the way people drive and actually helping drivers stay in lanes. Everything is changing. But how quickly is Ghana adapting to that change? Is it just about a mobile application that helps you hail a taxi? Or is it about the integrated solution to the transport sector that we're looking for? That is the big question that we want to address today. And hopefully, we'll get some answers from our guest in the studio today. Kennedy Adekufo is the Head of Operations and Business Development at iCommuter. Yes, indeed, he has a background in natural resource management, but he loves tech so much that he decided to veer off into a project that is looking at trying to change the way transportation basically is approached in Ghana with the help of technology. Our guest is in the studio with me right about now, and so we'll jump straight into the conversation. Ken, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Nice one. So, I mean, let's start off by painting a picture for my listeners this evening. What would you say is the current state of transportation in Ghana, and how do you think that technology can make a difference, quite apart from just someone coming up with a mobile application or something like that that helps them hail a taxi?
Thank you, Philip. Road transport is the predominant mode of transport in Ghana, accounting for 94% of fleet and 97% of passenger traffic movement. Road transport in Ghana can be categorized into four main segments, namely urban, express services, rural urban, and rural. The demand for urban passenger transport is mainly by residents commuting to work, to school, and other economic, social, and leisure activities. Urban transport in Ghana by road is provided by private transport, including trotro, taxi, and state private supported bus services such as Metro Mass and Ayalolo. By road transport, bus is the main mode of transport, accounting for 60% of passenger movement. Taxis account for only 14.5% and the remaining 25.5% by private cars. It is important to emphasize that the buses used here are within the minibus category, having a seating capacity of between 10 to 20 passengers, particularly with the intercity transport service. This current state has made Accra and other major cities in Ghana automobile dominant, and less sustainable with its attendant traffic-related challenges of pollution, congestion, accident, environmental degradation, climate change, energy depletion, visual intrusion, and lack of accessibility for the urban poor. A palpable trend in the intercity road transport is that there has been a shift from minibus towards medium to large luxurious buses with capacities ranging between 30 to 50 seats. This is a positive trend indeed, and even there is a growing need for better, more comfortable and convenient buses in the sector. And at the end of the day, it is the passenger that benefits. Now, people can travel for 4 to 6 hours on these buses and still feel agile and energetic to go about their businesses when they reach their various destinations. This was not the case about a decade ago. In an era of Internet of Things, where a good part of our daily life is dominated by the use of internet, either for social media, shopping, entertainment, knowledge acquisition, or in a generation of the netizens, if you like, the time is overdue for the phase of the intracity transport, particularly commuting within the Greater Accra metropolitan area, to change on technological lines, bearing in mind that Accra is striving to meet urban sustainability standards. In other words, the deployment of technology in our intracity transport will help surmount the complexity and unique challenges inherent in our intracity road networks.
But you see, my thing is, I mean, quite apart from buses being made available, quite apart from people probably buying top-up units or credits or whatever it is on their Ayalulu card or things like that, is that basically all that needs to happen when it comes to technology disrupting, you know, the transport sector in Ghana? Is it just about an app being developed or something a little more integrated? So, for example, when you're driving on a certain road, you know, the road markings and how they are connected to the traffic system and all those other things, do we have something like that or something even close to that at the moment?
We don't have anything like that at the moment, but we need to start from somewhere. And now we have had a lot of the taxi hailing services in the system, Uber, Uru, and the rest. But I think we need to pivot from that and move on to where we can get a substitute, a technologically driven services to substitute the trottoir we have. Because like the statistics I gave earlier, about 60% of our urban commuting is by the trottoirs and only 14.5% is by taxis. So why don't we get a solution for that 60%?
Because I've always been wondering, like, why is it that, you know, okay, well, I mean, Uber doesn't have anything to do with trottoirs. They probably would even consider it. But then why don't we have a system, for example, that concentrates more on trottoirs, which is what the majority of the people, you know, sort of use? Like, why haven't we had someone consider that as like a viable business line?
So interesting. There's somebody in the system trying to consider that. Where we can have a bus ticketing platform where people can use an app or a USSD or a short code, because that's what is available to us now, a short code where you can purchase a bus. And by way of the process, you'll be able to choose your time of travel, maybe 6 a.m. in the morning, and you want to travel from maybe Madina to Tema. You'll be able to select that option. And when you get to your boarding point, the bus will be there waiting for you and take you exactly from Madina to Tema. So a system like that is what we need now.
So basically what you're saying is that in starting from somewhere, this is where we need to start from. Trying to figure out how to automate. And make, you know, the hailing, for want of a better description, of certain means of transport, i.e. in this case, like trotskis, which are the general sort of...
Because it's rampant.
It's more dominant in terms of its usage.
And we know the challenges. It's very unreliable, it's very uncomfortable, it's rickety and all that. So why don't you get a solution, a technologically driven solution for that?
But then that doesn't really make the cars any better, does it? It just makes it a little more available and a little more convenient for you to get it. That for me is the thing. Like, if you're going to be traveling somewhere, we all know that the trotskis are terrible. But will the technology actually make it a little more comfortable?
Yes, of course.
How is that going to be possible?
Because a company set up to kind of really correct this challenge should be able to go beyond the technology or the back end to also commit itself to a continuous improvement with respect to making sure that their customers are taken care of. You understand?
Would this mean like new buses or
new buses and the buses coming with a lot of specs, like because we are in an era.
I can imagine like getting onto a Trotsky and then having free Wi-Fi. Like that is the sort of thing I'm
thinking
about.
Yeah, obviously. So a Trotsky where I was trying to compare the intercity, because the intercity, we have the intercity players and it's become very competitive and convenient
to the VIP, the OA.
Now SEC has new
buses.
So you travel in the comfort of air conditioning and the rest. So why can't we get the same thing for the Trotsky, where the intracity, the within the city, we have air conditioning buses, having a Wi-Fi on board, having a USB to charge your phone, being able to pay your bill whilst on board. Because majority of our people commute from one point of the city to another every day, from Monday to Friday. So why don't we get a solution for this?
Well, that is the question. Why don't we get a solution for this? Listeners, you're still tuning in to 97.3 City FM. We are having a conversation with a very interesting man. Ken is his name, and he basically is the head of operations and business development at iCommuter. I'll be telling you more about iCommuter in just a bit, but basically iCommuter is involved with the transportation sector, and so that is why he is in the studio with us today. We've been talking about the current state of transportation in Ghana and how tech can make a difference. He's given us some very eye-opening statistics, and I do hope that you understand where we are going with this. But Ken, where, I know this is a rather huge sort of question, it has too many legs and fingers and arms, but where does the future of tech in transport lie currently?
Okay, I'll start by saying that the main transport-related technological solutions that cities across the world are currently pursuing include alternative fuel vehicles and intelligent transportation systems. These technologies are deployed to essentially aid in tackling inherent transport challenges such as air and noise pollution, oil dependency, traffic congestion, and accident. And I must say that the applicability of these technologies in developing countries, including Ghana, is very low. It is important to know that a wide range of our vehicles plowing the cities or plowing the streets of Ghana can run on alternative fuels, which include natural gas, electricity, biofuels. And these fuels are essentially procured from its primary sources, including biomass, wind and solar energy, nuclear energy, and decarbonized fossil fuels, which are more cleaner, or a cleaner substitute to the diesel and the petrol we know. Notwithstanding the fact that we have an abundance of these primary energy sources in Ghana, particularly wind and solar, and even natural gases, it is a bit interesting to know that in spite of all these things, almost all of our vehicles are running on petrol and diesel. So, and again, I must say that the availability of natural gas resources in Ghana now, and even the huge investment in the development of pipelines and delivery infrastructure, should incentivize natural gas use for transport. But that is not the case now. But the future, which the future where we have majority of our cars moving on this alternative energies, can be realized if our governments are very committed. They can do this by offering financial incentives to consumers of natural gas fuels and vehicles, and even equipping suppliers of these alternative fuel vehicles. Because countries like Brazil and Argentina, who have been successful in natural gas vehicle penetration, did this by ensuring that the pump prices of their natural gases was between 40% to 60% lower than the prices of petrol. So our government can also do this. And again, I would also like to add that apart from these alternative fuels, intelligent transportation system, ITS, can also help to address the transportation challenges entrenched in Ghana. It is important to mention that even developed countries have been moderate in the adoption of these intelligent transportation systems. And in developing countries like Ghana, the adoption has been very low. considering East Asia, Eastern Europe, and Latin America, which are fair to be compared to Ghana because of the economies, the demography, and all that. The most common forms of the intelligent transportation system that have been introduced to date include traffic signal systems. I think you made mention of that. Yeah. And this is where you can be able to predict traffic congestion and also provide alternative routing instructions to vehicles in real time to improve the efficiency of the road networks and also maintain priority for high occupancy and transit vehicles. Then also traffic surveillance systems using CCTV, commercial vehicle tracking system using GPS, electronic ticketing system, electronic toll collection and fare payment system, bus management system, and traveler information systems. I think with the introduction of ride-hailing services such as Uber and Uru, a couple of these intelligent transportation systems have been experienced by Ghanaians already.
That's true.
Particularly the commercial vehicle tracking system using GPS, mm-hmm. and the bus management system with Ayalo Lolo, right. like you made mention of.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ghana is well positioned to dive fully into the implementation of the other systems, which have been tried, tested, and certified as stable and mature system. With this attendant benefit of economic development, reduced traffic, urban decongestion, and pollution reduction.
But what is holding us back? Because, I mean, it's not like, you know, we don't know that these things are happening globally.
Yeah.
It's not like we don't know that, you know, certain applications are using Twitter to update people on traffic congestion and traffic situations. It's not like we don't know that around the world, certain systems have been put in place to ensure that traffic information is made readily available to, you know, citizens. So, for example, you're in London, you want to move from point A to point B. It can tell you, like, these certain places, you know, are the traffic congestion is heavy here, so these are the alternate routes that you're supposed to take. What is holding us back? What do you think is holding us back?
I think this is more political because, you see, this challenge is also ubiquitous to all the sub-Saharan peers of Ghana, talking about Nigeria, Kenya, Rwanda. We are all in the same range, or we are all in the same lake when it comes to this. So I think it's a political commitment and the kind of leadership we need to be able to ensure that we have an efficient urban transport system. If politically we are not committed to it, then nothing of a sort will happen. Notwithstanding the fact that we know them.
You won't, for example, lay the blame at the footstep of developers in the country, for example, who are not pushing the boundaries in terms of finding certain basic solutions to, like, these sort of solutions to the problems that we have locally.
I think this is very interesting. I mentioned political commitment because developers or business developers or business philosophers can have this idea easily. But you see, because of the lack of the political commitment, they are kind of resistance being mounted by the kind of political institution we have now. For example, if you want to institute a system like that to serve as a substitute to the trusts and the rest, our institution, by way of the AMAs, by way of the of GAPTI, urban transport, are not supportive. And they are even, you see, and the problem or the challenge is very entrenched to the fact that they seek to dance to the tune of the GPRTU, who go for the backward traditional way of transportation in Ghana. So you see, because of these hindrances, it's difficult for a developer to just sit down. You can easily do that. But when you get to the ground, by way of implementation, that's where you see the stumbling blocks. And it can cow you for you to take over if you are not daring like myself. You can't do that.
Well, very, very frank. Ken here in the studio, we're talking about transportation and how technology is disrupting the transportation sector in Ghana. And if actually it will, because it looks like, you know, if the political will is not there, it's just not going to happen. Now, I mean, we have companies like you mentioned, like Uber and Uru, you know, sort of blurring the lines between transport companies and technology companies. What is the situation like in Ghana, and where do we really draw the lines, if we should be drawing lines anyway?
Okay, fine. I think the new or the contemporary transport companies we have now, in the likes of Uru and Uber, are essentially technology companies.
Yeah.
Why do I say that? I'm saying that because the engine or the back end of these companies are deeply technologically entrenched or driven.
Right.
In other words, a chunk of the assets of these transport service providers are intangible assets. And when I say intangible assets, I'm referring to the, I'm referring to the intellectual property and the other ancillary strategic resources. It is important for us to know that there is a new global trend which has triggered an ever-increasing middle class who are tech-savvy and also angry for more digital innovation. And this trend is a shift from manufacturing and investment in tangible assets to investment in the future that will be powered by technology. In line with that, the intangible value of enterprises generally has risen over the last 15 years. If you consider India and China, a lot of their investment they are making now are into the intangibles or into the technologies, because we are in the era of technology where technology drives everything. Again, it is important to mention that intangible asset goes beyond the technology, the systems, the brands, the unique skills, to also include customer relationship and the value of the workplace and even the expectation of future growth. The kind of traditional transport system we have, and when I say that, I mean the trotros, the taxis, and the intercity bus, are purely backed or are 100% backed by tangible assets. And tangible means the vehicle, the terminal infrastructure, and the physical semi-skilled drivers, the mates, and the rest. So therefore, you can draw the line. That Uber and the new Camers are all technology companies because of the concentration and the amount of investment backing them are into technology. But the traditional ones are into the physical or the tangible, you see. So they can be referred to as the purely transport companies.
I see. Well, even as we wrap up on the conversation, and listeners, coming up is the app segment of the show with Jeffrey Rikusapon. But we're wrapping up on our conversation with Ken in the studio here, talking about the transport sector in Ghana and how technology is looking to disrupt that particular segment. Now, are we hear all over the world, you know, everybody talking about electric cars and things like that, but are we ready for that in Ghana? And what will it take for us to sort of position ourselves to welcome, you know, that sort of technology in Ghana?
Okay.
Because I see a few vehicles which are hybrid and things like that, and I kind of wonder where the other electronic side is getting its charging from. But are we ready for that sort of evolution?
I don't think we are ready. Even notwithstanding the fact that now we have we have an electric car called Kantanka Odeneho the second, which is a new and advanced electric car developed by Apostle Kwadwo Safo. Notwithstanding this, Ghana is still not ready for a broad-based penetration of electric cars. This is due to two things. First, the current developmental stage of the technology backing electric cars, and also two, Ghana's current energy deficiency. Because of these two things, Ghana is not ready for the use of, or for the broad-based use of electric car. If you ask me, I'd rather advise we concentrate on self-autonomous vehicles. That's vehicles which are able to control itself by way of regulating the speed limit irrespective of the intended speed of the driver, brake by itself when it senses danger, and also able to give the driver real-time information as to what is happening ahead of the road. So our advice, we toe that line. Considering the current state of electric cars, whether being fuel cell, battery, or plug-in, electric cars in general have low range. And low range means that electric cars are able to run 100 kilometers on full charge in a city traffic condition like Accra, which makes it unsustainable business-wise. You can't have a car whenever you then it means that you'll be charging, maybe you charge once every 2 days, which you can't run like that. Again, the capital cost of electric cars are significantly higher than the cost of conventional cars. In other words, to amortize the acquisition cost through energy savings, an electric car has to be used to travel significant distances, typically more than 20,000 kilometers a year. Thus, it is estimated that the cost, or it is estimated that the cost will drop in the years to come. But even with that, The West is ready for that in the next 5 years, as per my estimation. And Ghana or the daring developing country like Ghana, Kenya, Rwanda will be ready for that in the next 15 years. So if you ask me for now, we are not ready for
electric cars. We're not even close. It doesn't even sound like we're close to
it. We are not close at all. 15 years is some years to come. Wow. You see? Yeah. Wow. And another significant challenge I would like us to be aware is these batteries are very bulky. Are very bulky, and also it's very inconvenient taking this this heavy bulky batteries in and out of your cars every time you are recharging. And also we need to consider the amount of time spent in charging these. Though there are ongoing R&Ds to make sure that this time is limited, but ultimately you spend some amount of time to recharge, and this makes it not attractive, particularly in the short term for Ghana now.
I see. Well, we have a comment here. Looking forward to an Uber Trotro. Do we have anything close to that?
I will not say Uber Trotro, but I'm saying a Trotro which is running on a similar technology like Uber.
Do we have something like that?
We have something like that. We have something like that, and it will be outdone. We will see it in operation in about 2 weeks or a month from now. A Trotro having the same operations like Uber, where I can sit in the comfort of my home or in my office. Then I'll pay by way of an app or a short code. I can go on the platform, select the time I want to travel, select my boarding point and my destination, and be able to select pay through mobile money or through express pay, a Visa card or a debit card, get a ticket number sent to me via a text message. And when I get to the boarding point, I'll show my text message and I'll be validated by a vending machine and I'll be able to board the bus. And on board the bus, we in the generation of the tech savvy, you'll be able to do a lot of things on board, like having access to a Wi-Fi, charge your phones, because every now and then young people having bad batteries run down. So you'll be able to have a USB. Once you are on board, you charge your phone and off you go.
What is this called? What is the name of this technology that you are talking about? Talk to me.
Yeah, this technology is pioneered by a company called iCommuter. iCommuter means intelligent commuter. Intelligent commuter is where you'll be able to travel across through the length and breadth of Accra conveniently, cashlessly, so to say, because you'll not be required to pay physical cash at the point of boarding, because you pre-book at the comfort of your home, and you can even book 3 days or 1 week ahead, and you get an incentive for booking a week ahead, where you book on Monday, you know that you move between La Paz and Tema Monday to Friday. So on Sunday evening, you book your weekly, and you can even budget, because you know every week from Monday to Friday, La Paz to Tema return, this is how much it costs me. So if I do this 4 times in a month, I know how much it costs me. And you not have a situation where a Trotro driver will say, it's raining, the traffic is too much, so I'm taking you from La Paz to Taita Kwasi, and that same car will charge you another run of fare to take you from Taita Kwasi to Accra. All these things should be a thing of the past, where we use technology by way of solving this challenge.
So you said in 2 weeks, iCommuter will be with us.
Yeah.
So what has taken this long?
Because, you see, the first thing is, you see, the back end or the engine need to be cooked, because it's riding on technology. And, you see, a technology like this, where you have the masses coming on board or coming on the platform, you need to be careful with this day of development. And also, we have a lot of hacking in the system. So you need to be sure how you validate and secure the system, too. I made mention of the impediment by way of our institution. They are not ready for the change, because this is very sharp. It's a very sharp change. So we have an entrenched old system, and the kind of overseers or the regulators of the old system are not ready to give in. Even if you present your business case, they'll say, wow, it's a nice case. It's a nice business case, but they'll not be ready to support you.
My issue is, are the Trotro drivers going to accept this sort of technology?
They should accept it, because Ghana is a free market economy. Because you see, you need to make yours attractive.
Right.
Because we are not saying they should come for hours. And we are also targeting a niche. We are targeting the upwardly mobile, technologically savvy, working class people.
Right.
So we are not targeting anybody, everybody at all. These are the people we are targeting. And because of what we offer, the kind of the kind of services we offer on board, we kind of want people who can afford our services, because we are not going to charge. I need to say that we are not going to charge the same way the trotters are charging. We are going to charge obviously a bit more than that. So we are targeting a group of people, so I don't think there should have any problem with that with that at all, because our target market is different from their target market.
So your buses are, the iCommuters buses are going to be completely different.
Completely different. Comfortable seating, air condition, Wi-Fi on board, content management. You can watch videos on board the bus. You can pay your DStv, GoTV bills. You can do a lot of things on board. So, and you can do, obviously, you can do this on a trotro. So we can charge the same as the trotro are doing.
I see. I see. Well, the messages and the compliments have been coming in, a message coming through. I love his presentation, knowledgeable and knows what he's saying. Ghana is back in decades of technology. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that final part, but then I agree with what you're saying about the fact that my guest is indeed knowledgeable. Phil, I'm surprised your guest talks about electrical automobile and not consider the fact that solar panels could actually be installed at the top of those vehicles to actually charge the batteries all at the same time. Your comment on that?
Yeah, if you are talking about solar, how many solar panels do we have kind of giving us energy in our homes? Even if we have not been able to achieve that, how much more can we move that harness all of that to our transport? So you see, we still have some a long way to go.
I see. Well, Kennedy Adai Kufo is the head of operations and business development at iCommuter. And obviously, you should know that he knows what he is talking about. I can't wait for iCommuter to be launched. I think it's a fantastic initiative. And City Trends will be there when the launch finally happens. And we'll bring in our listeners up to date with how that is going. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you
for joining us on the show. Well, coming up now is the app segment of the show, and we have some mobile games today, as well as some interesting things coming up. Joining me now is Jeffrey Rikusapong with the app segment of the show. Jeffrey, good evening.
Good afternoon.
Anyway, City Trends and Traffic Avenue sometimes mix up in my
it's
mind.
Okay.
Anyway, so... wow, that was a great conversation.
Charlie, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that would be really, really cool.
Trotro, bye-bye.
I know. Like, it will be so cool. I think it will be incredible. But our apps for this week, run us through them really quick.
Okay, so my first app, Angry Birds. You remember that one?
Yes, I remember Angry Birds.
So
I love
imagine
that game.
Angry Birds on steroids.
That would be addictive beyond my comprehension.
Well,
but
now it's called Angry Birds Evolution.
Evolution?
Yes.
Okay.
And they have 100 new characters in the game, added to the old ones.
Yeah.
And Charlie, these ones are bole.
Okay,
see?
So I'm searching for
Angry Birds Evolution.
Evolution. Angry Birds Evolution. Like, if you loved Angry Birds, trust, I have a feeling that this would be something else. So Angry Birds Evolution.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm trying to find it now. So what else should we expect in Angry Birds Evolution?
So basically, your old birds, but this time, many of them are on steroids.
Wow.
So they are angrier, they are hitting harder. And don't worry, they gave with the Android user some, so don't worry.
Right. So it's on iOS as well. Angry Birds Evolution. And there's a new flock on the block. Hatch, Charlie. Collect, and evolve over 100 all new Angry Bird characters from the other side of the... I'm downloading it now. I'm downloading it now. I don't download a lot of games on my phone, but this one deserves a download. I think I will enjoy this. Yeah. I think the only games I currently have are... Wait, hold on. Words with Friends and then, Crosswords. Those are the only ones I have.
Angry Birds tells us that he's smart, but it's okay.
Angry Birds is going to add to it. Anyway, so which other mobile applications do we have for this week?
The second one is called Yazio.
Yazio?
Yes.
What is that?
You used to check your weight.
Check your weight?
Yes. So it's a calorie counter and a nutrition tracker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about it.
So basically, with this app, mm-hmm. you're able to check how much calories you take each day. So you input it in, say this morning I'm taking eggs with maybe bread and oats with some milk. It will tell me how much I'm taking. And then if I need to take what amount of calories I'll need to take during the day. It will track all that and then give you that. And the good thing with this one, too, is that it's on both iOS and Android.
I see. So, our two apps for today. One is a game.
Yeah.
And I have to warn you, Angry Birds Evolution is very addictive, number one. And number two,
it's very big.
It is huge. It is over 100 MB.
On Android, it's 411 megabytes. So, you should be ready. If you don't have Wi-Fi, go buy data right now.
Actually just stopped. Because I just realized that it is bigger than I anticipated.
Yeah.
On iOS, it is 753 megabytes.
Yeah, that's for the Apple people.
Yeah.
For once, we the Android people have an advantage.
So get downloading, and trust me, it looks very, very good. I'm going to download this tonight and get playing as well. So we have Yazio, is it?
Yes.
Which is supposed to help you track your weight.
Yeah. Okay. And it's available on your Apple Watch too.
Brilliant.
So when you download it, you just do it on your watch if you don't have your phone with you or your iPad with you, and then you go with it.
Brilliant. Okay, so those are the two mobile applications for this week. You could check out Angry Birds Evolution, as huge as it is.
I call it Angry Birds on steroids.
But it is very, very, very addictive. It's such a great game. And, of course, Yazio is supposed to help you track your weight and everything. Coming up next is the trending segment of the show with Farida Shaibu. So a lot has been happening in the world of technology this week. We'll be bringing you up to date with that. But then something that caught my attention a couple of minutes ago. Just want to run it by you real quick. So something that just happened, I think, was it today? Yeah, it was actually today, 20th of June. Uber adds tipping to its app after long-standing complaints from drivers. Yes, Uber is adding tipping to its platform, addressing a long-standing complaint of drivers with new features rolled out 1 week after embattled CEO Travis Kalanick announced an indefinite leave of absence. So, yes, quite apart from all the craziness that's happening to Uber globally, it looks like the tipping has been added to it, and it sounds interesting. I'm not sure. I have a feeling that the Guardian Uber drivers will be using it and using it very, very well. So let's jump straight into some of the other stories that have come to our attention. Farida joins us right about now with the trending segment. Farida.
Hello, Phil.
Hey. So what do we have?
I'm not going to tip any driver for Uber or whatever. Why should I? In fact, when it's 22.8 pesos, I pay 22 cedis.
I don't know what to say to you. You and this, you are non-typical. I don't know what to say to you.
No. Yeah.
So if you get a very, very good service, like he plays good music.
I'll give you 5 star. It would push you up.
Farida, you're terrible.
No, this is not to say I'm Pepe.
But you are Pepe. We know that you're Pepe. It's okay. Don't even bother explaining it. Anyway, we have some text messages coming through. We'll get into the text messages in a bit. But run us through some of the stories that we have for this
week. Well, some of the stories we have today is got to do with journalists and lawyers and activists in Mexico. And they are saying that the government is spying on them by hacking their phones. Now, this accusation follows a report that says that they were targeted with spyware meant to be used against criminals and terrorists. Now, what the Mexican government did was that it contracted an Israeli company, which is a hacking company specifically. It's called the NSO. That is their sort of initial. I remember this company came somewhere in Ghana. Yes, last year during the previous administration, there was some deal they were supposed to have. And then it was a whole, you know, back and forth with people saying that we are not going to allow the government to tap into our conversations. I don't know if you remember that. Yes. It's the same company. Yes, the same company. Wow. So they've actually activated their service in Mexico. Wow. And what they did was that they actually told the government that, okay, they were going to use this one specifically for some specific reasons and targeted criminals. But the journalists have noticed that they are rather being targeted. So lawyers, activists, and a whole lot of people are raising concerns about this one. But imagine that if you have some maybe important call and then someone just taps into your phone or anything. It should be a security issue. So that's their concern against this.
And that's very concerning, considering the fact that we're close to having these people, you know, quote-unquote, infiltrate
It's been suspended. It hasn't been cancelled completely. Well, it has been. So probably later on, the debate will show up again.
Well, I do hope that stories like this would help us sort of put certain things into better perspective.
Now, we are still dealing with a lot of hacking.
Ransomware from a couple of weeks ago.
I think the hackers are making a lot of money. Now, they've targeted a South Korean firm. And do you know how much they were charging? $4.4 million. Now, they were able to negotiate and then the firm is going to pay $1 million.
Wow.
Just to have their computers unlocked.
Wow.
One cybersecurity expert said, no, this is too much. But they didn't know why they would come into public with this because it's supposed to be like some sort of a secret dealing, at least you pay.
Exactly, and then they release.
But you know, probably depends on their terms and conditions. They want to make accounts. At least they want to say it so that we know that
this is how much they actually paid.
Because if they are taking $4.4 million just to unlock their computer, it's not just, but because these people...
For any company to let go of that sort of money,
it means that it's very important.
Very, very important.
Wow. So that's just unfortunate.
So yes, for those of you who have companies who are not taking your cybersecurity seriously, this is something that you should actually be noting. Companies are paying 4.4. They had to negotiate to about 1 million. So yes, whether it's a personal, you know, startup, it's a small business, or it's a big corporate, make sure you take your cybersecurity very, very seriously because it can get you paying monies that you did not prepare for. Anyway, Farida, any more stories?
Yeah, so there are a few more stories. And then we've heard this before. We always hear it, that AI, that is artificial intelligence, will be taking our job. And this one says in 120 years, which I think is too long a time. We're already dealing with it already. Probably we don't see it in Ghana, but there are a lot of areas that probably have all these intelligence, you know, serving coffee and then maybe do you one or two things. And maybe just in a few years, not 120 years, I don't believe. They would obviously take our job and that would obviously have an effect on the economy.
I mean, there are technologies, for example, by Google, which are, you know, writing poems and writing stories and reading stories. So, I mean, I think I saw a YouTube clip at a point of a journalist, like a seasoned journalist and a computer writing a press release or writing a story from a press release. And, you know, apart from the personalized nature of the story, there was really no difference between the two, you know. And so every sector is being impacted, including journalism. So, We just wait to see. It's only a matter of time, really. But fingers crossed. let's make our money first and then they can come and take the rest.
So just some tidbits. Google has a powerful job search tool and it's going live today, actually.
Oh.
Now, you don't have to go to any job searching site. You just type the kind of job you want into your Google and search box and then it gives you options, whatever you're looking for. You just have to make sure that your location is on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells you that, okay, there's a nearest, there's an available job near you. So you don't have to go through a lot of stress, like going through job sites. And, you know, probably somebody has like 4 or 5 job sites.
True.
But you tell the person, maybe I just want to be a dishwasher. Probably just type it into Google.
And then it
gives you available options.
Based on your location.
Yes, yes, based on your locations. And they are doing that in collaboration with some companies like LinkedIn, some Facebook too. And then I think, I don't know, probably it will ease the stress.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the members of the Unemployed Association of Ghana will find very good use for this particular innovation. I look forward to interacting with it soon.
Yes.
I like it. I like that story.
Mm.
I like that story.
Really?
Yes, I do.
So before Uber, which I've already made my stance, urine is actually being used to charge smartphone. You know, this shouldn't be something weird. We have waste products or byproducts, if I should say, being used to generate electricity and other stuff. So the urine is a collection of cylinders and it's filled with electronic active microorganisms. And they feed off things they find in wastewater and the urine. And the electrons are created as a byproduct, which can be turned into electricity and used to charge phones and power some lights.
Wow.
So it's not really weird. It's not really weird.
Oh boy. I really like that. I have to confess. Just a quick message before we have our final story. Hey, ooh, Angry Birds Evolution. I can't wait to play. That's a message from Clef GH all the way in Brecon. And yes, indeed, Clef, we are tweeting on the handle at City FM Online. So you can get all the updates on the show, including the names of the various stories and, you know, the games and everything and the apps that we bring you on the show. Farida, our final story for this today?
Yes, the final story. You know, Uber has sort of like restrained itself so much that they didn't want passengers to sort of tip drivers, but this time they are going to allow such and they are going to make it available on their platform.
What is your problem with the tipping? Is my question.
Why? I don't know, but they're getting paid, right?
I wanted to say something, but I'm holding myself back.
They're getting paid, but actually,
when your uncle visits you at home.
Oh!
When your parents give you... I won't say that one.
Because I don't take that one.
The waiters at the restaurant.
Yes, the waiters at... No, she never tips, tips the waiters. She never tips the waiters. But okay, so, I mean, Uber basically... I don't know. So you think it's a bad idea?
You know, when you introduce tipping, I think that when it becomes the norm... Every driver will now be expecting, hey, madam, we want tip. You know, sometimes, like when you go walk into the saloon and then they expect you to tip after everything.
Mm.
I once walked into a saloon and then there was a Nigerian hairdresser, male, and he thought it was just the norm. So after that, he was like, madam, you're not going to give anything. I said, give what? I said, this is Ghana. I'm not used to it.
She said, no, for Nigeria, we
give tips. I was like, really? So actually, I don't want the drivers to get too comfortable with it. That's why I'm probably saying that. Because back when I said, if you don't give, then you see, so wait.
I can see why it's in some way. Well, we just have about 5 more minutes at the top of the hour. Thank you so much, Farida, for that. And we had wanted to bring you snippets from, you know, the conversations that we've been having on the City Breakfast Show. And, of course, you know that this week we'll be looking at how technology is changing how the country can invest to benefit. We'll be looking at how technology is disrupting the business sector in the country. Yesterday, when I spoke to the Chief Executive Officer of Margins Industrial Group, Moses Baden, and wanted to bring you some a snippet, more or less, of what they talked about. We don't have a lot of time. But then after City Trends and after the news, there'll be a playback of the conversation this morning that Bernard had on the City Breakfast Show, also having to do with the On Air series and, as you know, within the City Business Festival umbrella. So make sure you stay tuned into 97.3 City FM for a lot of conversation on technology. And coming up this Saturday, of course, it is the Innovation Summit happening at the Labadi Beach Hotel. Time is 6:30 p.m. but make sure you call 0302-226013 during working hours and request for an invitation, because an invitation only event. So yes, indeed, it is the Innovation Summit and it's happening this Saturday. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for doing the tuning in. Thank you so much, so much to our guest for today, Kenneth Adaikufo, who is the head of operations and development and business development, actually, at iCommuter. And it was a very enlightening conversation, I have to say. Thank you so much to Farida Shaibu and, of course, to Jeffrey Oweku Sapong for the various segments of the show. I thank you for doing the listening as well. But until next week, stay techie.